From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Tis the season for giving, and may we suggest books? They are personal, an easy wrap job, and really fill up a stocking. We invited a group of Georgia independent bookstore owners to tick through their recommendations for a spectrum of readers, and you can join us. What are you reading or giving or coveting? Let us know. We're on Twitter at OST Talk. Jessica Osborne is from Eshaver in Savannah, Georgia. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. Janet Geddes came in from her bookshop, Avid Bookstore in Athens. Hello.
Hello.
Glad to have you here. And Charles Robinson, he hails from Eagle Eye Bookshop in Decatur. Hello, Charles.
Good morning.
All right, so this was a big year for newsmaking books. Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury, Bob Woodard's book Fear about the Trump White House, James Comey's book, John Meacham's book. Big press junkets for these books. Did the sales continue in your shops? How about you, Janet?
You know, there was a lot of initial interest for all of those titles for us. And then after the initial hubbub, sales dropped off, at least for us. So we still keep them in stock. But there was nothing like the first couple weeks after release when every other customer coming in was asking about
looking for those books. How about for you, Charles? Are you still selling those books? And do you still recommend them?
I would say similar to what Janet mentioned. Although I will say with Fire and Fury, it was pretty unprecedented. Just the buzz around that book, we've really never seen anything like that in the book industry before.
So let's talk about some of those that didn't get quite that kind of buzz, but some of the bestsellers and favorites in your shop. Janet, one of those you chose, American Marriage by Georgia's Tayari Jones, a brisk seller, and GPB's Emily Jones chose it as her favorite book of 2018.
Once I started reading it, I really couldn't stop. It was captivating and really emotionally intense. I cried off and on throughout the whole thing. And I think a big part of that is that the characters are fully drawn people. So you sympathize with all of them, even when the things that they want and need are really at odds with each other. And of course, it helps that the writing is also exquisite. It's just an absolutely beautiful book.
Also, Oprah picked this as one of her book picks. Why do people love this book, Janet?
I think a lot of the appeal of anything Tayari Jones writes is, as Emily mentioned, her character development is just exquisite. She also does an excellent job of sort of exploring social norms and social injustices without ever beating you over the head with them. So I really like that whatever you read in one of her books, including An American Marriage, you suddenly start seeing parallels to things going on in her novel all throughout everyday news and stories that you hear. She is just a beautiful writer, as Emily mentioned, but there's something very timely about An American Marriage. I'm lucky enough that we booksellers get advanced copies of books, so I got to read it before I knew a thing about it. I am so in love with her former book called Silver Sparrow, and I loved that so much. That takes place in Atlanta. And so before Avid Bookshop actually opened, I fell so much in love with Silver Sparrow that I convinced Algonquin, the publisher, to send her to Athens to the library so I could have an Avid Bookshop event, even though I didn't have a store yet. I just really love her. So this, I think this book was about 6 years in the making, but so worth the wait. And it's been really phenomenal to see an author who's as kind and talented as she is, just getting a lot of recognition I think she deserves.
And it's very much a book of the New South, you know, an executive who suddenly their lives and fortunes change. Jessica, one of your picks is Fox 8. This is by George Saunders. This is published just a year after Lincoln and the Bardo, a huge novel from him. Why is it on your list?
Well, it's on my list. It's a modern fable, and it's just a beautiful little book told from the point of view of Fox 8, who's a member of a pack, and that's his number, who learns to speak human by hiding outside of a child's bedroom window and listening to bedtime stories. So he picks up the language and is curious and a daydreamer, and he believes that the other foxes can maybe be friends with humans. And that's when his troubles really began.
Charles, what are you loving for fiction?
Before I get into that, I don't want to go too off script here, but I just wanted to implore your listeners on these books that we speak about. Please, please, please go to your local independent store to pick these up. don't just put them in your Amazon cart and hit order.
We have a very interested speaker panel today in the thriving of independent bookstores, which are doing very, very well, despite a lot of predictions. Charles, are you going to get to the case at point here, though?
Yes, yes. Janet mentioned that we get to read advanced copies of books, which is one of the really cool perks of the job. And I'm reading in advance of this new book by an Atlanta author named Jennifer Lyons called The Ruin of Kings. It's a fantasy novel, and I think it's going to be very big.
So we've also got here, Jessica, you like Haruki Murakami's new novel called Killing the Commendatore. We have a couple of readers' picks here. Benjamin Andrews suggests Silas House's Southernmost. Leslie Potts says Alan Hollinghurst's The Sparsholt, if I'm saying that properly, Affair. Books you're not familiar with necessarily. Juan Love said he really enjoyed The Power by Naomi Alderman. That's 2016 book. And The Mixer from Michael Cox. But Janet, here's something for a little stocking stuffer. Top Elf by Caleb Zane Hewitt. Doesn't seem like your typical elf story. Is this like a kid's book or more of a David Sedaris or Will Ferrell style elf?
This is more maybe who Will Ferrell or David Sedaris was as a kid. Top Elf is written, full disclosure, by one of my former employees who now lives out of state, but this is a former Georgia boy. Caleb is this really talented author, and when you meet him and talk to him in person, he just exudes positivity and happiness and humor. And that comes across in every page of the book. So Top Elf is ostensibly for middle grade, which is like 7 through 12 approximately. But I have so many adults who've read it and loved it. But it's about sort of a play on reality shows. It takes place at the North Pole. And it's the storyline is that there's a competition to become the next Santa Claus because Santa's over it. And he's ready to call it a day.
He must be exhausted.
So he stages this contest. But it's very funny. I mean, I love laughing, but I don't tend to laugh out loud when I'm reading. But this, every other page, I was cracking up. But it's sweet and funny. It's not saccharine, but it's just kind of gets you in the spirit of the Christmas season without being overly religious or religious in the least.
Okay, so Top Elf is LOL funny,
yes,
from Janet Geddes. Jessica, Belknap Press has a new collection of annotated Jane Austen novels. I mean, had me at Jane Austen, definitely. But what more is there to say about the author of Pride and Prejudice and Persuasion?
These are beautiful books, and it's a complete series now. Harvard University Press has brought them out, and they have beautiful illustrations, margin notes. They take unfamiliar words and the context and the history, and they work it all in so you can really immerse yourself in the world of Jane Austen. And these books are so beautifully made. I mean, they're meant to last, to be on your shelf for your lifetime, to pass down. Anybody who loves Jane Austen would be thrilled to get these as a Christmas gift.
That's Jessica Osborne from speaking with us from Savannah, Janet Geddes and Charles Robinson, all independent booksellers, and we're getting some of their staff picks and finding out what readers are asking for in their shops this holiday season. Charles, I was really happy to see Southern Discomfort. That's by Tina Clark on your list. I spoke with her. She's an author and a music producer about her memoir. Here is her reflection on a pivotal moment in her childhood when her sister and her friend came home from majorette practice.
And I just remember looking at my Lincoln Logs, and all of a sudden my eyes caught these white boots with tassels on the floor. And I start looking up from the white tasseled boots to the green sequin leotard, and I thought to myself, you know, I don't want to be a majorette. I want to marry a majorette.
Well, in this book, Clark opens up about growing up in almost like a Southern Gothic family. Her mother's an alcoholic, waving a gun at her womanizing father in some scenes. A lot of hypocrisy and racism. And she admits to her own misguided attempts to integrate her little town. How have your customers responded to Southern Discomfort?
They've responded pretty well. I already had the book on order, and then I heard your interview that you did with her, and I said, wow, this is really good stuff. And so I've just kind of been personally advocating for it since.
Terrific book. Another musician memoir. This was Let's Go So We Can Go. Jeff Tweedy, he's the frontman for the terrific Chicago band Wilco. Everyone has a story, but not everyone writes a memoir. So why is he grabbing so many readers? It's selling really well.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you go.
This is Jessica. So I just absolutely loved this book. He takes the myth out of the rock star, and it's just a really heartfelt, warm memoir about his growing up and his growth as an artistic person and his lapse and recovery from opioid addiction, his family. It's just a wonderful book.
Well, how about you, Charles?
Yeah, I totally echo those sentiments. You know, this is not just a gift for someone who is a huge Wilco fan, I feel like. I feel like it has more open appeal. He goes into his life and also his creative process in the book. So, yeah, I just think it's excellent.
Some a reader also suggested Sally Field's In Pieces. Not quite the memoir you expect. You're nodding, Janet. What did you find with that book?
I have not read it in full. I read pieces of it. And it's just, it's phenomenal when you, for me, I mean, Sally Field has always existed since I was born. And so she's just been this mythical, gorgeous, sassy figure. And so, I mean, just like with any celebrity that you grow up just seeing around, it was really cool to read a little bit about her evolution and more about the emotional, personal side of her life. So it's, she's just one of those people that I hadn't thought to be that interested in. And I feel bad now because she's just this fascinating human being and just exudes kindness and creativity. And you just want to get to know her better through this book.
The best kinds of memoirs. And we can't talk about memoirs of the year without Michelle Obama's Becoming.
Michelle.
Best-selling hardcover of 2018. Here she is with Oprah speaking about the book.
People always ask me, why is it that you're so authentic? Mm-hmm. How is it that people connect to you? And I think it starts because I like me. And I like my story.
I bet you as booksellers really like her story too.
I loved it.
Absolutely.
What are folks discovering about the former First Lady that they didn't know before? Who wants to pick that up?
Oh gosh, that's a challenge. I would say that for a lot of people I've talked to at the store who've read this now or have listened to it on audio, I think that what people are happily surprised by is that she not only is as thoughtful and funny as she has always appeared the last many years, but she goes beyond that. Michelle talks all about her growing up. She's completely transparent about things she wish she could change and things that ways that she's grown throughout her life. But yeah, I just went away from it. I was never a huge fangirl. I really liked her a lot and I respected her a lot and the work she did. But after reading it now, I think I and millions of people feel like she's my secret best friend.
So what did you think, Janet? You sounds like Jessica, rather, it sounds like you really love the book, too.
I love the book. I actually listened to it, which was wonderful because it was in her voice.
Uh-huh.
And so to hear her tell her story and talk about her family, especially her father with multiple sclerosis and his reaction to the disease and just her humanity. She's just, yes, I feel like I've come away with a new best friend as well.
Yes. That is Jessica Osborne from East Shaver in Savannah. Also with me, Janet Geddes. She's from Avid Bookshop in Athens and Charles Robinson from Eagle Eye Bookshop right here in Decatur. We'll be back with more holiday picks right after the break. This is On Second Thought. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. We have been hearing for years that independent bookstores would be crushed by big box stores and Amazon. Well, the indies are thriving, largely because of listeners like you and guests like we have today, independent bookstore owners who hand sell to their customers. It's part of that need for real-world community that seems like it's been popping up as a theme on the show for the last couple of days. Charles Robinson is here from Eagle Eye Bookshop in Decatur, Janet Geddes from Avid Bookshop in Athens, and Jessica Osborne from eShaver in Savannah. Jessica, I'm going to start with you. How about for nonfiction? What do we get for the big history buff on our Christmas list or holiday list?
Oh, my goodness. Well, in nonfiction, These Truths by Jill Lepore is a wonderful book. It's selling very well in the store. Jill Lepore is a history professor at Harvard University, and this book traces the history of the United States from Columbus to the Trump administration, paying close attention to the contribution of minorities and immigrants and women and people whose stories are sometimes overlooked by the mainstream histories. It's a very approachable history, very readable, and she does a wonderful job condensing everything and putting it in one volume.
She's just a terrific storyteller. We spoke with her about the book on the show. Also got a suggestion from a listener. Dave House says, Ben Fountain's Beautiful Country Burn Again, a look at the 2016 presidential campaign from somewhere between John Dos Passos and Norman Mailer. Oh, wow. So are people are not tiring of these sort of political books. Is that what you're finding?
Not in Athens. What's difficult is trying to figure out which big political book is going to be the one people want or the one that gets covered in the media. But yeah, we found people, I feel like we went from a phase where people were just trying to kind of get through the sensationalism and the craziness of the campaign, and now are focusing a little more about how the government actually operates and what we can do to make sure that everyone's voice is heard in our country. And so it's been kind of neat to see people go from, a lot of my customers are still very angry, but seeing them move towards more of an educational rather than a reactive stance.
And that, I think, was what Lepore wanted to do. She said it was like an old-fashioned civics book on some level, but 963 pages. Charles, are you having trouble selling that one, or how's it doing?
I checked on that before I left the shop yesterday, and I think I've sold a couple of copies. You know, once you're done reading it, it can double as, like, you know, a personal weapon or something.
Doorstopper. Jessica, the famous Shakespeare and Company bookshop in Paris championed the works of James Baldwin, Allen Ginsberg, Langston Hughes, now has its own book called Shakespeare and Company Paris, A History of the Rag and Bone Shop of the Heart. What makes a book about a bookstore? I know I'm speaking to an interested audience, but what makes a book about a bookstore exciting to readers?
If you've ever loved a bookstore, this is a biography of a bookstore. It's really about George Whitman, who founded the present-day Shakespeare and Company. And I think this quote that he has sums it up. I created this bookshop like a man would write a novel, building each room like a chapter. And I like people to open the door the way they open a book that leads them into a magical world in their imaginations.
Lovely. So, I was a big fan of Ninth Street Women. Did any of you read that book? This is about Lee Krasner, Elaine de Kooning, Grace Hardigan, Joni Mitchell. It's basically the five painters in the movement that changed modern art. Really interesting book by Mary Gabriel. Okay, so we're veering away from the nonfiction to the real fantasy stuff, the sci-fi fantasy genre. George R. R. Martin's newest Game of Thrones prequel, Fire and Blood, that was released just this last month in November, set about 300 years before the ultra-popular TV show and the novels that it was based on. Jessica, how are fans responding there in Savannah?
Well, they're responding well, but as you know, fans have been clamoring for the next installment of Song of Ice and Fire, and they're just going to have to continue to wait because George R.R. Martin does things on his own time. And it's instead a prequel detailing the history of Martin's world, and it takes place 300 years before Game of Thrones, and it's the first in a two-part history of Westeros. So
how do you all satisfy people who are coming in itching for a book like that? Is there anything else that you might suggest to them? Charles?
Yeah, absolutely. I would try to get them on a different series altogether, because who knows when the Song of Ice and Fire is going to be completed. One of my selections was, and you're going to notice this as a theme, also another Atlanta author. author. but these are all, you know, very legit big publisher authors. They just happen to live here in the Atlanta area. We're very lucky with that. But there's a book called The Gray Bastards by Jonathan French. This book is the first of a three-book series, and this book is a lot of fun. Imagine Sons of Anarchy meets half-orcs.
Okay.
And they ride around on hogs that are literal, like, warthogs.
See, I'm already intimidated. I couldn't do it, but I'm glad you read it. I'm happy to sell it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The Gray Bastards, and we will have a full list of all of the recommendations from our booksellers on our website, and also we can tweet that out at OST Talk. And we'd love to hear your book suggestions. What book blew your mind this year? Tweet us at OST Talk. Jessica, we had Lisa Jasek on earlier this year to discuss her anthology. It's called The Future is Female, 25 Classic Science Fiction Stories by Women. And she talked about the importance of unearthing these kinds of stories.
Women have not always had a voice in the future, and we don't necessarily always agree with the futures that are offered to us. And this is true, of course, for all kinds of people. So it's exciting to see science fiction open this up, and that we're living in a moment where, especially with digital technologies, lots of people can get their visions out and really show us lots of different ways the future might be.
She pointed out to us like how fundamental women authors were in the science fiction genre. It's something that we normally think of as very sort of male. Have you got any other suggestions for, you know, sort of other voices in science fiction that we may not know? Jessica, I think you liked a Chinese author.
Absolutely. The Three Body Problem by Liu Cixin is the first chance for an English-speaking readers to experience this award-winning phenomenon from China's most beloved science fiction author. And it's just a very compelling story. We read it in one of our book groups, and it provoked more discussion than almost anything else we'd read, even though people came to it a little bit reluctantly. She integrates complex topics. It's a very sciencey science fiction book. It attempts to define the limits of science ability to know nature without slowing down the sacrifice of sacrificing the story at all.
So, how about, Janet, for you, Wild Milk by Sabrina Ora Marks, your favorite. What's the story in this book?
I sneak this one in here. It's more fantastical than fantasy. It's a story collection by an Athens author. It's published by this really cool feminist press called the Dorothy Project. They only publish 1 to 2 books a year, always by women. But it's a story collection, and every story sort of veers off into just sort of like a reverse of the real world in part. So like all of a sudden something, you'll be in a very real setting and something kind of crazy and weird and unlikely will start happening. But what I really love about it is it's delightful in many places. It's really moving in some. It reminds me of reading poetry, for me at least, where I just have to trust the author, and sometimes I don't know exactly what direction she's going in. But if you just sort of relax and try not to overanalyze every sentence and just kind of go with it, the reward and the payoff is just phenomenal.
So that's Janet Geddes. She's with Avid Book Shops, actually, two shops, right, in Athens. Charles Robinson is here from Eagle Eye Books in Decatur, and Jessica Osborne from eShaver giving us some ideas for books to give and receive this holiday season. All right, let's get to the mystery thriller kind of, you know, that can't put it down kind of book, Charles. Lee Child is the number one internationally best-selling author of the Jack Reacher thrillers, and his latest is called Past Tense. First of all, for those who don't know Jack Reacher, who is he?
Jack Reacher is a former military military police officer, and now he's just sort of a drifter. Lee Child, he's a British author, but he lives now here in America, and he was questioned about, well, why didn't you set your stories in England? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, they had to be in America because he wanted Jack Reacher to be a character who can be off the grid, which it's very, very difficult to do that in England. And it's getting more difficult to do that here in America. But that's also part of the appeal of the character, I kind of feel like.
So is he the kind of author that you have people just sort of champing at the bit asking, when is the new Jack Reacher book coming out?
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Charles, and do they have to be read in order?
No, this is actually a really good jumping off point, I feel like, this new book. But they're not written in a style of where you have to read all 16 books in order. They have sort of little payoffs if you do read them in order, but definitely not necessary.
All right, Janet, you chose Nine Perfect Strangers. This is Leanne Moriarty, mystery recommendation. She is the author of Big Little Lies, which is a really successful HBO series this year. How would you compare it to Big Little Lies?
So I didn't find it as compelling or well-written. However, it was a delightful, hyper-entertaining read. Leanne Moriarty has a skill of writing short, intriguing chapters where you're like, oh, I've got to read one more chapter. Mm. Oh, got to read one more. Mm. So they're only a few pages long each. Her characters are really interesting. But in this one, which just came out, there's a group of people, nine perfect strangers, who end up going to this very she fancy retreat to sort of recenter themselves. But once they get there, things start going awry and it gets crazier by the page. And just like with her other books, there are all these twists and turns that I just didn't anticipate. So it's just a lot of fun to read and a really good escapist novel.
That sounds very Agatha Christie. They're all in one place. Well, those are two very reliable mystery thriller writers that people ask for over and over again. Any new names in that genre that you talk about with other people?
Oh gosh! I wish I had my booksellers here with me. I think a lot of us bookstore owners rely on having really well-read staff, and so I know that if I were in my store, I could walk you over to the section.
That's why we go to see you. All right, let's get on to the graphic novels, Jessica. One that you suggested is Ngozi Ukazu. She graduated from SCAD and started this series as a web comic. What is it about, and why is it on your list?
Oh, it's just a beautiful book. It's from her massively popular hockey-themed web comic, now in book form.
I need to stop you right there.
No. The main character is Biddy, and he's a figure skating champion, and he's a vlogger and a baker, and it follows him as he goes off to college and navigates his freshman and sophomore year as a college hockey player. It's a really engaging and heartwarming story.
All right, so Janet, you're in Athens. We're the Athens coloring book. This is Catherine Dunlop and Maddie Zirkle. Seem to be pretty popular. What do you know about the artists of this book?
So these two women, I can't remember if Catherine still lives in town. I know Maddie has moved since then. She's from Athens. They collaborated to make this coloring book a couple years ago, and the coloring book phase was really just through the roof. It is hilarious. For anybody that is even vaguely familiar with Athens, you should check it out. Unfortunately, I think we might be the only place that sells them now because we bought the rights to them because we sold them so well. But every page is hilarious. So there are lots of little, like, winking inside jokes for people who've been in town for 30 years. But even if you've only visited for one weekend, one of my favorite drawings is of a fraternity house that you can color in, but it's just littered with Solo cups and trash. So it just looks like day after the football game. Yeah, it's just very, it's really, really entertaining, a really good gift for anybody that loves Athens.
So she's a local, and Jessica Ngozi graduated from SCAD. Is this picking up on Charles's theme? Do people often ask you for local authors?
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's good to hear. Jessica, Tilly Walden's On a Sunbeam, this also started as a webcomic, and Brian Vaughn, his Saga, is a huge comic out right now, declared her to be the future of comics. What's her appeal?
Well, she's one of the youngest people ever to receive an Eisner Award, which is sort of the Oscar of comics. On a Sunbeam, it's a sci-fi story. It's just beautifully drawn with gorgeous environments, and it has really engaging characters.
Well, let's go on to, we've got loads more to get to. I want to just mention some things that have come in on Twitter. Oh, Laurel Snyder, who is, her own is an author of that book, Orphan Island, most recently, a terrific book. It's time to tell OST Talk how much I loved M. Brockenbrough's Unprecedented, how important I think it is that we arm the next generation of voters with facts and a sense that they're allowed to be critical of the government, a sense that is, in fact, their job to do so. So do you guys know this book, Unprecedented?
Yes.
What is it?
So it's a book that I think adults should read as often as kids should. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively new release, but as Laurel says, it allows you to understand the context of what's happening with the Trump presidency, how he got there, and also, as she said, I often forget who this quote's attributed to, but it fosters the idea that dissent is the highest form of patriotism, mm-hmm. and you need to arm yourself with the knowledge about how the government was created to work, how it's actually working now, and what you can do to affect change in order to make it work better to represent the people of this country.
Which age group is it meant for? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head. I want to say middle grade to young adult, which would be, you know, about maybe fourth grade and above, but I'm not positive.
Well, we're going to get to some of those picture books and YA stuff, which I know is really popular in your stores just after the break. But also wanted to mention Georgia Hill said The Culinarians by Dr. David Shields. Anyone know that book?
I don't know that book, but I know that author. He's a very smart thinker, and I know we have a lot of fans at UGA, scholars who really love reading him.
And The President's Kitchen Cabinet by Adrian Miller.
Not familiar with that.
We're getting little shrugs all around on that one. Well, let's just give a little preview in children's picture books. There's The Sun is Kind of a Big Deal. This is by Nick Selleck. Jessica, we're up against the break, but can you tell us about this one? It helps explain the galaxy and planets to young readers.
Oh, it's just wonderful. It's his first children's book. He's Awkward Yeti is his comic, Heart and Brain. And it's just really engaging. Saturn is a hula hoop champion, and it will engage kids, and it's a fun way to learn.
All right, so a little preview of what is coming up there from Jessica Osborne. She's from E. Shaver Bookstore in Savannah. Janet Geddes is here from Avid Bookshop. That's in Athens. And Charles Robinson from Eagle Eye Bookshop in Decatur. Let us know what your holiday book picks are. You can reach us at OST Talk on Twitter or in our Facebook group. And we'll be back after a short break with more bookishness. This is On Second Thought. From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott, and we are getting all bookish today. So whether you're looking for a gift for someone or something maybe new to tuck into over the holiday break, we have some elves here to help you. Janet Geddes from Avid Bookshop in Athens, Charles Robinson from Eagle Eye Bookshop in Decatur, and Jessica Osborne. She's from E. Shaver in Savannah. So Jessica mentioned the picture book, The Sun is Kind of a Big Deal. Charles, here's something for the kiddos. The Rooster Who Would Not Be Quiet. This is by Carmen Agra Didi. Of all the choices, why this one?
So Carmen Didi is just a master storyteller. If you've never had the pleasure of hearing her present a story, she's just masterful. But this book is great. It's a picture book about a rooster, and there's a new mayor who declares there's got to be quiet. And the rooster just decides, well, no, I've got to do my job. I have to be loud.
Wow, just the message you want for kids.
Yeah. Well, it's very apropos, I feel, for today's world, because it's basically the point is just kind of saying, like, you need to speak up.
Well, this is set in the pause, actually, this book. That's The Rooster Who Would Not Be Quiet. And Janet, I've been to your shops in Athens. Very inviting for kids. So what are they asking for?
We sell picture books very well. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we have been selling is what we've stocked for since we opened, which is books that foster kindness and empathy without being overly sweet or annoying.
That's a balance.
Yeah, it's hard to find. Mm-hmm. We also focus a lot on making sure that we have books that represent characters of different socioeconomic statuses and characters of color where the book is not about them being of color, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And it's been really phenomenal in recent years to see that publishers are publishing more and more books that appeal to that. And it's been cool to see families of all kinds come in and seek to read stories either that reflect their own lives or maybe allow them to explore another type of life, which has been really great.
So let's move on to young adult genre. Jessica, you chose Mackenzie Lee's The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue. Very playful reimagining of the 18th century. And it has a Casanova-type protagonist, Monty. Tell us about him and how he might have charmed you into liking this book.
Well, this is a hilarious book. And I loved it because it was kind of sassy. It was fast-paced. And there was a lot of diversity, including LGBT characters and different ethnicities and dealing with mental illness, but still really fun to read. I'm just glad there's a new one coming out, The Lady's Guide to Petticoats and Piracy, which I think is next on the list.
Mm-hmm. So, Janet, why Petticoats and Piracy, this was a sequel earlier this year, focusing on Monty's sister. How about you, Janet? You chose I Felt a Funeral in My Brain by Will Walton. Is it as intense as its title?
It is pretty intense. There are lots of moments of levity, however. This is definitely... for, I'd say, like 12 or 13 and up. It's the story of a teenager and his family and sort of what happens as he matures and he realizes a little more about what goes on in his family life and the more adult problems going on. I think one thing that happens during the holiday season is that people who maybe don't have completely satisfying lives at home need to get some validation. And so while this book is funny and sweet and leaves you feeling uplifted, there are some themes dealing with grief and addiction and loss and identity that I think really resonate as well with adults as it does with teenagers. So it's just one of those reads where you can, as you're paging through, you feel yourself reflected. And it also has a lot of poetry in it, which is sort of a safe way to open the door to poetry to people that maybe are intimidated by it.
So support and the gateway drug to poetry, yes. At the same time. Jessica, one of the splashiest YA debuts has been Tomi Adeyemi, Her Children of Blood and Bone, debuted at number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's really been a mainstay there ever since. Why is this book so buzzed about before its release?
It's just a wonderful and important addition to the YA fantasy genre in terms of voice and setting. She's a Nigerian-American writer, and she sets it in an African myth, and the characters are different from what we see all the time. It has all the things a good YA fantasy novel needs. It's fast-paced. It's action-packed. There's adventure. You're trying to restore magic to the world. It's got darker themes in it as well. But it's just a wonderful read. It's fast-paced. You can't be intimidated by the size because it's so gripping. You go through it very quickly.
Okay. So I'm seeing that... You also chose Victoria Schwab's City of Ghosts. It's haunted places in Edinburgh, Scotland. Are we getting away from that post-apocalyptic YA trend?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I would welcome that, I think.
Yes.
What are you seeing for trends in YA books now?
There's definitely a lot of fantasy and, again, like as we were mentioning earlier about kind of exploring darker mm-hmm. topics with the engine of fantasy, that is happening a lot. A lot of books where the lead character is female or maybe non-gender conforming, that's been kind of cool to see. Just a lot of high adventure, some fantasy, and some people seeking justice.
Okay, so we also have, let's get into some of the cookbooks, some of our sort of the food porn section of our conversation. Jessica Samin Nosrat's Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, a modern cookbook, also a Netflix show.
If there were a single recipe to really sum up the lessons of salt, fat, acid, and heat, it would be this buttermilk marinated roast chicken. The buttermilk provides both fat and acid that really tenderizes the meat. And then, of course, heat, using the right amount of heat to get that bird beautifully browned on the outside and nice and moist on the inside. The buttermilk expands your margin for error. If you forget it and overcook it for 5 or 10 minutes, the buttermilk is insurance, and it's the most delicious kind of insurance.
She sounds very reassuring, which I like in a cook. But Jessica, what is she cooking at that we haven't heard before in this book?
Well, now I'm hungry. It's just wonderful. It helps you master the four elements of cooking: salt, fat, acid, and heat. And if you can properly balance these four elements, you can really cook anything. So it allows you to kind of move away from following that recipe exactly and become more creative and confident in the kitchen on your own. Mm-hmm. It's great for people who are just learning, but it's also a good reminder for seasoned cooks. You can always learn something new.
Okay, and for the unseasoned cook, Snoop Dogg has a cookbook out, which pretty offbeat choice. But now he and Martha Stewart are all tight on Martha and Snoop's potluck dinner party. Has anyone tried any recipes? Does anyone actually try recipes from this book?
I just want to say there is a recipe in the book for gin and juice. Yeah. Okay, that kind of gives you a little bit of a flavor of where the book is coming from. But I've actually looked at some of the recipes, and yeah, some of what he's talking about is very much.
Are they cannabis-free recipes? I'm just wondering, like, is there a pot brownie recipe in there?
That's a separate book, I think. There is actually a book that came out recently called Bong Appetit. Yeah. That is very beautiful, and you can pick that up if you're looking for that kind of thing.
All right. I'm also Soul by Todd Richards, beautiful cookbook that came out this year. We featured it on our main ingredient series. I just found it to be lovely, and I have made a couple recipes from it, and he actually cooked bacon collard and fried egg sandwich for us, and here's what he had to say about starting each day on a positive note.
You can be miserable with all the listenings of instant news, Instagram, instant things, or you can just take a little bit of time for yourself each and every day and be fortunate that someone loves you as much as they do, and that you can always find a way to love yourself regardless of any situation. And that's how I do it. I just have a glass of champagne and go out to the garden, and I just really start my day in the most positive way I know how.
I didn't know this, but he went through some real tragedy, lost a young child. I mean, the mother of the child after that is just an unbelievable story, getting the background on this chef. And I don't start my day with a glass of champagne as he does. Any recipes or anything about this book that stood out for you, Charles?
So some people may know, but he's the owner of Richard's Southern Fried and Krog Street Market. And one great thing about this cookbook is it's organized by ingredient, which I think is really different, but makes a lot of sense. And I was just flipping through it the other day, and there's a recipe for collard green ramen in there. And I just said, oh, wow, I need this right now.
This guy is flipping the script on Southern food in many ways. All right, I got a note here. Snoop's cookbook, after watching Martha and Snoop's show on Thanksgiving morning a couple of years ago, my friend's mom made his glazed ham recipe. It was extremely good.
Right.
So testifying there for Snoop Dogg's new cookbook. Let's look at some of the sort of assorted things that are out there. Janet, Paperback Crush. This is the totally radical history of the 80s and 90s teen fiction. This is Gabriel Ross. Is this nostalgia for fans of those books, or is it meant to appeal to today's younger crowd?
It could be a little bit of both. It's definitely nostalgic, even from the cover. It's a slightly oversized book, so it's really fun to leaf through. But if you were, I'm 38, and so I grew up going to Perimeter Mall and going into the stores in the mall and just getting the latest in whatever girl series I was reading. And so it really appeals. I mean, there are some books for boys in there, but I found it's resonating a lot with female readers in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. But it also is a cultural analysis of what brought certain series into being and what themes were kind of explored and ways in which teen fiction in the 80s and 90s was pushing boundaries in ways that even adult fiction hadn't explored yet, which is really kind of cool.
And what kind of series are we talking about?
Like Sweet Valley High, uh-huh. Sweet Valley Twins, Sleepover Friends. She talks a little bit about Richard Peck and some of the thriller series. But if even just looking through it, people who I've shown it to people in the store who like, I didn't really read a lot in the 80s and 90s. And I show them, they're like, Oh, wait, I had that. So it's cool just to have as a trip down memory lane. But if you want to read a little more literary criticism, you can also just deeply dive into it.
So, Jessica, you found Leland Kent, author of Abandoned Georgia, Exploring the Peach State. That's on your list. Did you find anything new about Savannah or the state when you were reading it?
I did. It's put out by Arcadia Press, and actually Leland's going to be at our shop tonight mm-hmm. talking about his book. He just gives a chapter-by-chapter narrative of these amazing abandoned places in Georgia. There's a mental asylum, there's mansions, there's a small amusement park, things that are just right around the corner that we have no idea are there.
I'm going to go back to a memoir of this year. Just seems appropriate, especially now. John McCain's memoir, that was among your picks, Jessica. Here's just a clip of McCain from that. He read the book in the audiobook version.
Before I leave, I'd like to see our politics begin to return to the purposes and practices that distinguish our history from the history of other nations. I'd like to see us recover our sense that we are more alike than different. We're citizens of a republic made of shared ideals, forged in a new world to replace the tribal enmities that tormented the old one. Even in times of political turmoil such as these, we share that awesome heritage and the responsibility to embrace it.
Well, that sounds like something we can all get behind. Has that been a big seller for any of you guys or books that are... let's say, rather than stressing the disunity and disorganization, looking for another path?
Yes. I can't speak specifically to the McCain sales because I haven't checked on those. But I will say, as I mentioned earlier, with the theme of people trying to work towards a solution to try to make the country more unified and at peace and understand each other better, there are lots of books that are selling really well for us that do encourage thoughtful conversation. Even Celeste Headlee's We Need to Talk.
Mm-hmm. Great book.
Mm-hmm. Books like that that help people realize that we don't have to be at an impasse. There are ways to have conversations with our political leaders and with our families around the Christmas or holiday table.
I feel like that's been part of the theme of the coverage of George H.W. Bush's funeral in the past couple of days. You know, I'm sorry, Charles, I skipped over this in the cookbook section. Martina's Kitchen Mix by Martina McBride. You just had her at the store last week.
Yes, we did. And that was excellent event. And this is a very nice cookbook as well. It's definitely not just using someone's cachet to cash in, if you will. It had some really nice recipes in there, including I just saw one that was very simple that I wanted to make. Those bacon wrapped olives.
Okay, you had made bacon.
Yeah, I said, yeah, that we need that around the Christmas table there.
More bacon at Christmas. Okay, so we've just got a couple minutes left. Books that blew your minds this year. Anything that just really sticks with you that you really want other people to read?
This is Janet. I am obsessed with this book called Bibliophile by Jane Mount. I'm sure that lots of people are familiar with it. I think that anyone who has ever loved books, libraries, and or bookstores will be obsessed with this. Jane Mount is an artist who's now living in Hawaii, but she paints bookstores and books and book lists. She's famous for doing paintings of spines of books, so she'll have like a whole theme, feminist reads, and then paint all the spines of those books. But it is exquisitely done. I thought that it was going to be, you know, pretty nice. But when I got it in person, it's just jaw-dropping. So it's the perfect book to get the bibliophile in your life.
I didn't know that book, but I was just reading the review for it. And the reviewer, I'm not remembering who it was now, said, you know, I don't normally like books about books, but this is a really great one.
It's very special.
How about for you, Jessica? Have you got a thought?
Well, I'm going to talk again about Shakespeare and Company Paris, A History of Rag and Bone Shop of the Heart. It's for your book lovers and your bookstore lovers. It's just a beautiful gift. The photographs are wonderful, and it's just the perfect gift for the bookshop lover in your life.
How about for you, Charles? A book that blew your mind this year?
I'm going to go with a new book that's an old book, which is the re-release of Neil Gaiman's Sandman series. The first volume, I would recommend this to anyone who is a reader. Don't let comics like really color your thought about it. These are some of the best stories of any time, of any medium, which I know is a bold statement, but I really stand behind that, and I just kind of rediscovered that again.
Okay, you're on tape now, Charles, with that one, so we'll see how it stands up. Hopefully we can do this again in the future and talk about books, glorious books. I want to thank you all so much. Charles Robinson from Eagle Eye Bookshop in Decatur, thank you.
Thank you.
And Janet Geddes, she's from Avid Bookshop in Athens, drove in this morning for the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks. It was my pleasure.
Jessica Osborne is from eShaver in Savannah. Thank you so much, Jessica, for representing from Savannah.
Thank you.
And that is it for our show for today. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, and The Raven Taylor. Alex Word is our engineer, Don Smith, script editor, and Amy Kiley is our senior producer. Well, you can join the conversation. We will have their book lists, our respective booksellers' lists, posted at OST Talk on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. You can join our Facebook group or email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today. This is On Second Thought.